Mitchell Scott is the visionary leader behind alternative protein investment vehicle Cult Food Science. Based in Canada, Cult Food is a publicly traded company which has seen celebrated growth in recent months. He's also CEO and founder of Better Butchers, which uses mushrooms to replace meat in its deli-style products with good success. Cult recently launched protein-packed meat-free dog food treats called Nucci's. I'm Alex Crisp, and welcome to this latest episode of Future of Foods Interviews, Speaking to the Future. You can catch all episodes on your favourite podcast channels and also on YouTube. Thank you, Mitchell Scott, for agreeing to talk to me for the Future of Foods podcast. You are CEO of Cult Food Science and also a co-founder and CEO of Better Butchers. I've already spoken to one of your colleagues. On your website, it says you are food technology pioneers obsessed with developing and commercializing the world's first cellular agriculture products and brands. So can you tell us how that's going?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. So I think with Cult Food Science, we started as an investment management company. So invested in 18 different companies all across the cell ag space. So meat, dairy, coffee, chocolate, collagen, all sorts of really interesting companies. And then we were at a point where, you know, we had these great investments. They're all private companies. We thought, what can we do to further kind of expedite adoption in this space? So how can we leverage some of these relationships? How can we start, you know, bringing products to market in this space? And saw a huge opportunity in pet food initially, shorter regulatory pathway, great margins, fast growing industry. I heard the stat the other day, something like 6% of global GDP is spent on people's pets, 7% is spent on babies. It seemed like a good place for us to start. We acquired the consumer assets of a pet food company called Because Animals that had developed some really interesting tech and some great products, kind of a cultivated nutritional yeast, and like a line of meat-free pet treats. So we're working on a few projects on the pet food space. We've spoken with one of our portfolio companies, Umami Meats out of Singapore. They do a cultivated fish and are working on bringing products to market in the US on the pet food space.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you have a product called Nucci's, which is your first product, is it, to market?
It is. So Nucci's launched kind of late last year in the US, online direct to consumer, in a handful of specialty pet food stores in California as well. Currently have dog treats and cat treats. And actually, you know what? Got the cat treats here. I've run out of dog treats. Okay. Had a lot of sample requests come in. I might have one downstairs. Like essentially a high protein cat food treat that's very similar to a meat-based treat, but doesn't actually include any meat.
So is it cultivated meat?
So this product doesn't have cultivated meat in it yet. So we're working on projects that leverage this Nucci's kind of base. So this nutritional yeast that goes through this patent pending process to make it have a lot of the properties of meat. And the goal is to, you know, within the next year or so, be launching products that contain a percentage of cultivated meat and then have the rest of the Nucci's base there.
Okay. And how soon do you think you'll have the product with cultivated meat on the market?
Good question. So currently in the middle of the FDA regulatory approval process for that, next step is feeding trials, and hard to tell, but our goal is to launch products, you know, this year.
Because I know I interviewed good dog food. Mm-hmm. They do a cultivated mouse product, and which was very interesting talking to her about that, because you know her point there was that actually dogs and cats don't really eat beef and lamb and pork, because you know they can't catch them in the wild. They're more likely to kind of eat mouse meat. So with the onset of cultivated meat, they have the opportunity to sort of go back to eating what they would naturally eat. So what would be your pet meat your kind of cultivated meat and your product?
Yeah, so the company we acquired had previously worked on developing a cultivated mouse treat as well. So I think that's interesting. For us, it really, so we're not in the business of doing all this R&D, building these facilities ourselves. Instead, we're leveraging portfolio companies and other companies to provide an ingredient to us. So at this point, it's a bit of a question of who has the ingredients available and can provide them at a decent cost and at meaningful scale. On the fish side, we've had some great progress there. Love the idea of going back to the mouse. There's not a ton of companies on the ingredient side providing cultivated mouse. I think most companies are working on a chicken, a beef, something along those lines. So for us, it's a matter of how can we get the ingredients we need to then package and put into this final product and bring it to market.
I can't remember the details, but there was a pet food company that got regulatory approval in Europe last year, wasn't there, for their
Yeah,
product?
there's been a few kind of announcements. There's a company in the UK as well. I think Meatly just announced they've got a chicken cat food in a tin, I think. That should hopefully you'll be able to pick some up soon over there in the UK.
But that hasn't had regulatory approval, though, has it, the Meatly products?
My understanding is that they're in the process and hoping to launch soon once they clear those regulatory hurdles.
And is that why you chose to launch pet food as your first product?
So a couple reasons. So one is the regulatory piece. On the human side, 2 to 3 years, you're probably looking at, if not longer. You're also looking at a much more structured product. So with pet food, we can kind of they can harvest the cells at an earlier stage. You don't necessarily need a nice piece of sashimi or a full ribeye to feed your dog. You can kind of get it at an earlier stage, at that ground meat stage or beforehand, and still get all the nutrition and benefits. But not have to do all this additional processing and structuring, which can be expensive.
So yeah, it's I guess part of the process for creating meat is the scaffolding and kind of making it look like a piece of meat, kind of building it up so it looks like a joint or has the texture of a joint. But with dog food, you don't need to do that. And I suppose that's what cult food has in common with better butchers in a way, isn't it? Because it's in the sausage skin, so it kind of doesn't need the same kind of scaffolding.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was is kind of our initial focus at Better Butchers is ground meat type applications. So ground, but then you can take that, you can make a burger patty, you can stuff it in a sausage skin. So kind of those early, popular products that don't require, huge advancements in technology, and yeah, the whole scaffolding and fat lines and all these other pieces.
So your pet food, is that available now? That's available now, isn't it, to buy?
Available now in the US. So you can go on our website, you can order online in about 30 or 40 stores in California currently. Do you have pets, sir?
I have pets in my life, but they're not necessarily mine.
I will send me your address after this. I'd love to ship you out some samples. You
Oh,
can marry
really? I'd
the
love that.
first in the UK to get some new cheese.
I would love that. And then I'll come on and I'll talk about how well they were received.
There you go.
Okay,
Cool.
great. Okay, I'd love that. So can you update us on any of the progress from Better Butchers out there? Because you are involved with that
Yeah.
really as well, aren't
Yeah,
you?
absolutely. So company is just under 2 years old. First year, so we're focused, primarily on cultivated meat. Had a senior scientist working on it, some university collaborations, and got to the point where we realized we were still a couple years away from, bringing products to market. And saw an opportunity in the short term to launch products that are plant-based with this new ingredient. It's like a mushroom protein almost that we believe is really a step up from what's currently on the market here in Canada. So yeah, launched products 2 months ago. Things have been going great, in quite a few stores here. Can't keep up with demand. So,
Oh,
weekends
really?
going in, helping out, getting the product made. But longer term, the goal there is to do cultivated meat products, so to start integrating, cultivated fat, and to have basically two lines, so a plant-based line and then a line involving cultivated meat. For us, it's still, a couple years away. But the thought was, let's not wait 3 or 4 years. Let's start building a business. Let's start building the brand, building out distribution, generating revenue. Obviously, it's been a challenging fundraising environment the past couple years. So yeah, I've been working with, Celeste, my co-founder, who was on earlier with you. Yeah, developed some great products and they're being well received. And yeah, the work continues.
Okay, so the dog, so the new cheese product, is that also made from sort of mushrooms from fungi or not? Or is that kind of is that precision fermented products, or is that kind of plant-based?
Yes. So it's a
Okay.
nutritional yeast base. And then we've got this kind of patent pending process that kind of cultivates it and changes its makeup so that it has a, it's high in protein, B12 vitamins. It just makes it like a super nutritional yeast. We then freeze dry it and put it into these treats.
Okay, so
So
it's
it's
kind
using some cell egg techniques, but it's not full, full cultivation.
no, but it's kind of it's to it's, I mean, you're launching this product, like you said, to build brand, to kind of get to so people, so when it does become cultivated, people know who you are, they know what your ethos is, that sort of thing. Is that the idea?
100%. Yeah. So when we acquired the brand, it had already, launched these, similar products. Had a great customer base, hundreds and hundreds of 5-star reviews. And it was it was a meat-free pet food treats, supplements, food as well. And the idea was, let's bring it back to market. You have all these customers missing the product. Let's build out that distribution again. And then have that pipeline to launch new products, containing cultivated meat. And that's the eventual goal of Nu-Cheese, is to be a cultivated pet food company. And Nu-Cheese is kind of our stepping stone to that. It's kind of the first phase. It's definitely a kind of a unique product. I think, a lot of the plant-based options out there for pets are not necessarily nutritionally equivalent to meat-based. A lot of stuff with, yam and carrots and, great treats that the animals love, but may not necessarily be delivering all of the health needs.
It seems interesting that in the UK it's going to be our pets that eat cultivated meat before we humans.
Yeah. I've thought on that, and I think there's always that like animal lovers paradox, like, why, love your animal, why are you feeding it another animal? I think also maybe some people are still not so sure about cultivated meat. They don't quite understand it, and maybe are more willing for their pets to try it first, like a guinea pig, for example. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. But
I
it seems
suppose
like, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I suppose also because it's cheaper to bring to market, isn't it? It's kind of easier to bring to market.
Yeah, it is. It is much easier, and like, our cultivated products are going to be profitable, like nicely profitable from day one, and we'll be able to use those margins to build a business and to scale. Whereas I think on the human side right now, just because there's so much extra work to get that additional structure, it's going to be, yeah, challenging. I think it's still going to happen, relatively soon. But I really see the first wave of cultivated products being in the pet food space.
I mean, it's going to be very, something like, I can't remember the exact amount, but it's like 40% of meat is fed to pets or something. 40% of.
Yeah, I was looking at that stat the other day. Yeah, it's like 30 or 40%, and it's not the not that there are nice bits, but it's not like the prime cuts or anything, right? It's kind of whatever's left over. They sell it to the pet food producers, they grind it all up, and yeah, not super pleasant.
But the thing
So
is, if they if the factory farm companies lost that revenue, they, it would impact how they produced meat, I suppose.
I think it absolutely would, and potentially drive the price of, conventionally produced meat up even further, if they don't have that kind of side stream. Or maybe they'll just send it all to the hot dog farm. Maybe let's have more hot dogs.
That's right. So, what is the regulatory landscape like in Canada for cultivated meat? You don't hear much from them.
Yeah, I from what I think it's somewhat similar to the UK in terms of they're not, at least, from my knowledge, they're not building out a framework quite yet like the US. And there is like a novel ingredient process you can go through. It takes about 2 years. A lot of the onus is on the producer to submit everything, do all the tests, build the framework, go back and forth. And I think the main reason it hasn't necessarily developed as quickly as you see it in the US is a lot of the companies are based in the US. They've got a lot of VC money. They've raised, they've scaled, but they're not at the point where they can produce enough to ship to Canada, right? They're going to be producing meat just for the US market for the next 10 years, probably, just with, production capacity and the size of the market. So it doesn't make sense to spend a bunch of money and time getting it regulated for sale in Canada, if they don't need to, right? If they're already going through the US process. So I think there's a couple companies in the Canadian space, working on it, and hoping for more. And yeah, I mean, at the Better Butchers, we're hoping to, within the next few years, bring some of the first cultivated, human products, to the market. And what that'll end up looking like is, still up in the air. It's not going to be a steak right off the bat, but hoping it'll be, maybe a burger with some cultivated fat, and, a collaboration between a couple different companies to bring something to market. There has been some government interest. There's been some government grants, some funding, a little bit, but not quite on the level you see in places like Singapore, or
Nice.
even the US.
So you are CEO of Better Butchers and Cult Food Science, but you've also invested money in lots of other companies as well. So which other companies are interesting at the moment?
Yeah, so me personally, I haven't done a ton of investments.
Okay.
There's a great little sauce company here. I'm going to give a shout out, Johnny Hetherington Essentials. Clean label ketchups, hot sauces, barbecue sauce. Just an incredible husband and wife team. I've worked with them in the past, loved what they were doing. So I've, yeah, invested and I'm helping them out. And then, I mean, Cult has obviously invested in some of the most interesting and exciting companies in the space. I came on in November, so all of those investments had already been made. But I've spent a lot of time, a decent amount of time, meeting portfolio companies, doing what we can to support them, learning more about their business, and some really, yeah, really exciting companies. One thing I was interested in, like, so one of our portfolio companies, for example, it's not in on the meat or the dairy side, it's on chocolate. So I don't know if you've heard. Cocoa futures over the past 6 months have been skyrocketing. So this company, California Cultured, is making cocoa flavonoids, and they're selling them to the largest or second largest chocolate producer in Japan. And they're cheaper than real cocoa because, cocoa production, global warming affects it. There's, labor issues. So they're able to now commercialize this technology, this kind of cell-like technology, and produce cell-cultured chocolate. And it's beating out the conventionally produced in terms of taste, flavors, and price now as well. So that for me was really exciting because it shows that, these aren't just, science experiments that are still years and years away. They're actual real businesses that are being built and commercialized.
Yeah, so they are selling their product now, are they, California Cultured?
To my understanding, yes. Don't quote me on that though. But they did announce a big partnership with Meiji out of Japan. So they're selling an ingredient to then a larger producer who's
Okay, because I know that they're a company backed by Agronomics as well, aren't they? They have.
Yeah, I think they're an agronomics portfolio company as well.
Yeah, that would be interesting to I'd be interesting to speak to them actually. It's good to see companies that are actually producing and kind of making a profit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, there's so much incredible science, and it's great to see stuff getting out of the lab and being put into, real world applications. Another portfolio company, for example, MeliBio, so working on honey, they're kind of further along the commercialization pathway as well. And yeah, it's super exciting to see and
So
really
these are
looking forward.
companies which are invested in by Cult Science, are they?
Yeah, correct. So for the most part, we like across our 18 portfolio companies, most of them were kind of we're first check in or third check in, so pre-seed, very, small ownership, 2 to 8% or something like that, and it's a very passive investment for us. We're doing what we can to support them, make introductions, potentially be their first customer on the ingredient side. But our kind of core day-to-day business over the past year has shifted, and we're now really focused on building this new cheese brand and scaling it.
Okay, and Cult Science is a listed company in Canada, is that right?
Yeah, so I think we're currently the only publicly traded company in Canada focused on the sell ag space. So we're on the Canadian Securities Exchange, the CSE. Ticker symbol is CULT, so got a nice ticker there. And there's not a ton of options out there for investors that want to invest in this space. You know, a lot of the money is private VC money. You know, Gates and Bezos are investing through their funds. You know, there's one or two. You know, agronomics in the UK is probably one of the bigger opportunities. But we're really excited to be here, to be building this business, to have this really strong portfolio, and to be helping kind of try and shape the future of food.
Yeah. So apart from the ones that you're invested in, your company, which companies are you kind of most excited about right now?
Yeah, good
Is that a bit of a
question.
kind of left ball question that
No. It's there's always interesting stuff popping up. I mean, more recently, you know, Aleph Farms getting that regulatory
Yeah.
approval in Israel was huge, and then also being able to raise 40 million or something like that in this environment is great. And I think it's hopefully a sign that things are starting to thaw a little bit. I think you had a lot of companies in the space were able to raise maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and then they've been and then kind of to take it from idea to pilot to lab, and then have been struggling to raise the funds required for that next step.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited that at companies being able to scale, being able to raise the funds they need to start commercialization, to start bringing products to market.
Yeah. It's a difficult time for raising funds, isn't it, at the moment? In 22 it was sort of sky's the limit, but kind of 23 has kind of caused a bit of a kind of tightening of the belt. But I see that you've raised 800,000 recently.
So when I came into Cult back in November 1st, we needed to raise money to kind of keep things moving, to keep growing the brand. Obviously took a little bit longer than I was hoping, but about a month ago we raised 800,000, just a kind of a small round to kind of set us up so we can kind of keep executing on our plans. Definitely a little bit different raising for a public company versus raising for a private company. You know, if
Yeah.
markets are going great, it can be much easier. You know, back at my previous company, I was getting, you know, phone calls every month saying, "Hey, you want 10 million bucks? We'll send it to you tomorrow." And now it's, you know, quite a bit more, you know, outreach and pitching. But I think, us having being public, you know, allows us access to different types of capital, and we're excited to tap into some of that and use it to help, you know, grow brands in the space.
Have you noticed any change in optimism for the market more recently?
Yeah, I definitely have. I'd say over the past year and a half, it's been what's the word I'm looking for? Bleak, grim.
Yeah.
It's been, and
Yeah.
then like every now and then, oh, there's some green shoots. Oh, come back a few weeks later. Oh, never mind, never mind. I would say the what I'm kind of getting now is things are starting to thaw. You know, more deals are getting done. Definitely, even just the past couple months. Obviously, the one we talked about earlier, Aleph Farms. So it seems like things are starting to thaw. I mean, I don't know if the money will fully come back into food, if the VC money will come fully back into food like it was a couple of years ago. It may not, and that's kind of one of the reasons that the Better Butchers we're building a, you know, a business that is cash flowing and will be able to support itself soon. But I'm hopeful that interest is returning in the sector, even just with Cult. Like every time, every you know, I've been, you know, pitching the story, you know, five to 10 calls a day the past couple of weeks, and people are excited at the story. Like it's something different. It's interesting. Like here in Canada, it's not just, you know, another mining deal or something. It's something real. People see the potential of it. And I think they're excited at kind of the underlying technologies and the implications as well for our world.
It does seem, I mean, it seems very much like an industry that once it really gets going, there's going to be no stopping it, really, you know.
Yeah, I think a couple of things, like if you know, I'm sure you know, like the first lab grown meat burger 10 years ago was, you know, 400,000 Canadian. The same company's making it for 20 bucks now. If they can
Yeah.
get to a point where It's the same product, so it tastes the same, it looks the same, it's priced similarly. It doesn't have that environmental overhang. It doesn't have that, a large scale animal ag overhang as well. Because I think, a lot of people, enjoy eating meat. I haven't really found someone who is a big proponent of factory farms and CAFOs. I mean, I guess there's a couple of them out there, but almost everyone is against that. So I think that's when it becomes really compelling and exciting. And it's just going to take, a company or a handful of companies being able to reach that scale and make products more widely available.
Yeah, I mean it's funny because since I've been involved in this, I've spoken to a lot of people about their attitudes towards cultivated meat, and you kind of talk about factory farming and they're against factory farming, but then you kind of give them the alternative, which is a cultivated meat burger, and they kind of screw their face up and say that sounds disgusting. I'd rather have a factory farm burger. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and I think it's like in North America, 95% of meat is factory farm. So there's not a lot of happy cows out there. And I think just as more education, like as people become more aware, like what is a lab grown meat burger? Like it's a lot cleaner and better, right? It's made, bioreactive, similar to brewing beer. There's no animals, getting pumped full of hormones and living in their own shit. I think it's going to take time for people to come around to it for sure. There's going to be waves of early adopters. There's going to be, a lot of different conversations going on. But I think at the end of the
Absolutely.
day, we need a solution, right? Because, meat demand is set to double in the next 20 years. A third of the land is used for animal agriculture. So we're going to run out of space. We're going to be running out of resources. So we really need a better solution.
That's right. So what's your personal motivation to promote and produce this industry?
Yeah, for me, I think it's an excitement. So was it, in plant-based before this? I think it's just an excitement about the potential. Love building brands, growing companies, but just looking at the potential of all of these technologies, if they can make it out of this, I think it's still in an infancy stage. If they can make it to that next level, it could just be transformational. Like there won't be a need for all these, super destructive, time-consuming ways of producing food. Like even like all ethical stuff aside, it's wildly inefficient to produce a cow. It takes years, takes tons of water, and then you're getting, this little piece of meat at the end of it. So I think that's for me the excitement. It's just to see this new industry grow and not feel like people have to sacrifice anything or miss out on anything. They can still have these same products they love and sensations, but it's just made in a much better way.
I suppose it's exciting to be at the forefront of something pioneering and new, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is to a certain extent. And yeah, it absolutely is. And I think, yeah, just having people, when you tell them, they just, I think, are genuinely interested and excited just to learn more. Because I think for a lot of people, they aren't familiar at all with what is cultivated meat, or what is going on here. So that's definitely being able to try and share that, educate people yeah.
It's one of those things, isn't it? It's kind of once you know about it, you can't unknow it. And so it's, you then become, I think a lot of my friends and family think I'm slightly strange that I'm interested in this stuff. But I'm not even sure how it happened. It was just like, wow, is that a real thing? That's just brilliant. So it means that we can have meat and not have to slaughter and harm in such horrendous ways all these lovely animals that we're supposed to love. And I'm
Yeah.
not a vegetarian, so I've kind of come at it from quite a sort of pragmatic viewpoint, I suppose. Which I
Okay.
think is what it's all about, really. It's like it's there to, kind of vegetarians already have what they need, but people eating their McDonald's and eating their burgers, they need an alternative. So this is why when I first came across cellular agriculture, I thought, yay, brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's the promise of it is incredible, right? Just being able to deliver the same experience and sensation that you knew and love, know and love and grew up with, but just in a different way that, you know, is better all around, is super, super compelling.
So finally, I'd just like to find out how excited are you generally for the cellular agriculture market, and why?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't excited. And you know, I think it's going to take some time for sure. Like, you know, it's not going to be like a linear progression of advancements and what there's going to be troughs. It's going to go up, it's going to go down, there's going to be approvals, there's going to be bans. Like you probably saw the bans in Florida and Alabama.
Yeah, and
But I
Italy.
think Italy as well, yeah. And I think those are going to get overturned with time, and they're a bit short-sighted. But yeah, I'm incredibly excited for what the next, you know, 5, 10 years are going to hold, and even beyond that, and really look forward to living in a world where, you know, the majority of our meat comes from, you know, food production facilities, you know, similar to a lot of our other food products, and looking forward to, yeah, enjoying meat again. You know, I grew up vegetarian, you know, I've been vegan for the last 6, 7 years, and I'm, yeah, definitely gonna eat cultivated meat, and yeah, looking forward to
So
it.
that's it. So that's interesting, isn't it? Because there's a lot of vegans, like yeah, I don't know whether you've met Emma Clarkson from Veg-Economist, you know, the editor from
Yeah.
Veg-Economist. I've lots of conversations with her, and she said that she wouldn't eat cultivated meat because, you know, she's been a vegan for so long. So it's interesting that you would.
Yeah. My parents are similar, I think. And I guess, yeah, I mean, some people, yeah, they don't like the taste, or they're just so not used to it that it's kind of foreign. For me, like, yes, I'm excited to eat it myself. I think I'm more excited though for all, hopefully, you know, all the people that are eating conventionally raised meat to try it and to not have to say, oh, it's not quite as good because it's a veggie burger or a whatever. No, it's the exact same thing, and this is why it's better. So that for me is super exciting and compelling. But in addition to that, just the ways that this technology is being used in other food types as well, right? So it's not, you know, it's not just these big kind of headline, oh, you know, meat, dairy. Like as I mentioned on the chocolate side, people are going to be eating cell cultivated chocolate or coffee and not even knowing, because it just looks the same. It comes the same. You know, same producer, but it's made, you know, in a much better way. So,
Okay, well, thank you very much. I mean, if you were just to say one quick thing, if I was to say that there was if you was to say that there were barriers to the industry, and you had to sort of say
yeah.
which is the biggest barrier to the industry getting going, I'll let you go in a second.
Yeah,
Sorry.
yeah. Barriers, I'd say just that price point, you know, it's
Price point.
needs to come down. It's also scale. Like, you know, the animal ag industry has been around for a long time, heavily subsidized by government. And how can startups break through those barriers? You know, raising money, VC money is good, but I think there needs to be more partnerships with government. I think there need to be larger companies coming on board, because you know, new technology is expensive. These bioreactors are giant steel, they're expensive. So I think that's the biggest barrier is scale. So once that piece is figured out, and products, like, let's let the consumers decide. Let's make products widely available, let's bring them to market. And I think at that point is when they're really going to start to take off, once people can actually get their hands on these products.
Of course, I suppose they need to know that the market's there before they scale up, though, don't they?
It is. They do, for sure. And that's, yeah, always the most challenging piece.
I had a conversation with Liberation Labs last week, who make the bioreactors,
Okay.
and so they're starting off with a 600,000 liter capacity, but that's just as like a startup. But they are hoping within years to have, you know, kind of multi-million liter capacity. But in the
Wow.
beginning, you know, they just need to know if it's going to sell or not, don't they?
Yeah, you need to kind of stagger it. So do an initial small launch, make sure that demand is there, and then also make sure, you know, you're profitable from the beginning and that there's a business case, because there needs to be a business case to scale and bring these products to market. And I think, you know, we've come a long way in the last 10 years, but I think there's still a long way to go in terms of fully commercializing a lot of these technologies.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Mitchell, for coming on Future Foods Interviews. It's been great meeting you finally.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Alex. And yeah, be sure to send me your mailing address. I'll get you some samples. And yeah, thanks again.
I will. Thank you.